Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Today we'll be talking about courage. What is courage? How would you define it? According to Merriam-Webster, courage is defined in the following way. Mental or moral strength to persevere and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. I think what they mean is this. You know what the right thing to do is. You want to do the right thing, don't you? You want to obey Jesus and you want to do His will. You want to do the right thing. You know the right thing to do, but there's fear. Because if you do the right thing, it's going to cost you. There's a consequence, ramifications. So that fear, that cost creates fear. So you feel discouraged, afraid, or feel paralyzed from doing the right thing, right? I believe that you want to do the right thing. In fact, you know what the right thing to do is. So what do we do? What do we do? If anyone knows about courage, I think that will be Nelson Mandela, the former president of South Africa. And he is really famous for one of his quotes, which is this. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. What a quote. Courage is not absence of fear, but rather courage is conquering over fear. I think we all agree with that, but most of us, even though we agree to it, agree with it, but we don't know how to overcome fear. We don't know how to conquer fear, thereby living out, embracing the virtue of courage. Well, let's make it practical and personal, shall we? Some of you are saying, I need courage today because you want to do the right thing, but it's going to cost you, and therefore that cost creates fear in your mind, right? Whether it be your marriage is struggling. You know what the right thing to do is. You need to work on your marriage. You got to own up to your own responsibilities. But if you commit, there's a cost. If you commit to it, but if your spouse doesn't, if your spouse does not come all the way, then the cost will create a consequence. And the cost is creating fear in you, right? Or what if you're being falsely accused by somebody? What if your name is being repudiated by peers or friends, even worse, by friends of yours? And you want to rebuttal that, and you want to stand up, but if you did, you don't know how that's going to go. Maybe they will backfire. Maybe there will be even more bullying, more false accusations. So that cost is creating fear. So you don't know what to do. Well, let me talk to the followers of Jesus Christ. You want to obey Jesus and you want to follow His way. And Jesus says, commit to me with your finances. Trust in me. Put your trust in me and I will take care of you. You want to do the right thing, and you know what the right thing to do is even, but if you commit to that, there's a cost. And the cost is, what if I commit to Jesus financially, and He doesn't come through? Will there be enough money for me, for my family? And that fear is creating paralysis, right? So we are needing courage. So how are we going to find courage? Where do we get courage from? Today we'll be reading from Book of Acts chapter 4. And before we get to that, I just want to set the stage up for you. In the previous chapter, chapter 3 of the Book of Acts, Peter and John, two disciples of Jesus Christ, they healed a lame man, a crippled person. In the name of Jesus, the man was healed, and Peter, John, and this person walked into the temple in Jerusalem And the man who was instantaneously miraculously healed, he was dancing, jumping, rejoicing, and praising God. And all the people came and surrounded this fantastic supernatural event, right? And then there, Peter and John began to preach. They began talking about Jesus is alive, and that in the power of Jesus, this man was healed. Now, before I read chapter 4, I need you to know this. Peter and John knew if they preach about Jesus, that he's alive, he's resurrected, and if they tell everyone that this man was healed by the name of Jesus Christ, Peter and John knew that they will face persecution. They knew they will be arrested. They knew it was possible for them to be tortured, flogged, and even killed in the hands of the rulers of Jerusalem. So the question is, where did Peter and John get the courage from? They knew what the right thing to do was. There was fear, obviously, there was danger. They would be persecuted, they would be arrested, they might be flogged or even put to death. But they faced fear by being courageous. So as we read Acts chapter 4, let's find out how that came about. It's a storytelling. So one of the ways that we meditate or receive God's word is by using the method called picture it. You simply see yourself in the narrative, in the story. There are major characters, obviously, John and Peter, but the antagonist, that will be the Sadducees. Sadducees, let me just take 1 minute to explain who they were, because this is really important. They were the ruling party of Israel at the time. There are three things you need to know. Number one, they were socially and economically powerful. Yes. The Sadducees were highly educated and extremely wealthy. They were the wealthiest population of Israel. So in terms of socioeconomic echelons, they were at the very top. They're the high status demographic. So they were socially, economically, the ruling power. Second, politically, they were the power at being. So the Sadducees joined the Roman Empire, and in a way, they betrayed their own people of Israel. So the Sadducees were political ruling party of the land. And that's why Jesus was handed over to the Romans by the Sadducees, the ruling party. So they were politically very, very powerful. Thirdly, religiously, they were very, very powerful too. The Sadducees were very highly educated, but also at the same time, they were the priests. Priests, what that means is they controlled the temple. And temple is at the very epicenter of Israel. And everything was done in the temple by the temple. So the Sadducees, they were the ruling party religiously. Now, one unique thing about the Sadducees is they did not believe in the resurrection. They only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament. And because of that, they did not believe that there was life after death, nor angels, nor spirits, and they denied the resurrection of the dead. Now, it is in this context, Peter and John, they proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's get to the text. Use picture it method. Hear the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here's the question. How did Peter and John become so courageous? Now, just over 50 days ago, when Jesus was arrested, all of his disciples, they ran and they were hiding. They were not courageous in any stretch of imagination. If anything at all, they exhibited cowardice. They were cowards. They didn't stand by their leader. They didn't stand by their friend. When Jesus needed the most of their companionship, they all fled. They weren't courageous. They weren't brave. And all of a sudden, 50 days later, here they are, addressing the ruling party of the nation and speaking boldly and courageously. How did they become so courageous? I want that virtue, don't you? I know you do. The transformation of Peter and John and all the rest of the disciples happened. They went from being cowards to these courageous men of Jesus Christ. So here's the theme and the goal. When you face fear, write these words. When you face fear, receive courage by three things, and I'll spell those out. But for now, listen. When you face fear, not because you're being stupid, not because you are being irresponsible, but rather you are facing fear because you will want to do the right thing, okay? You want to obey Jesus. You want to do the right thing, and you know what the right thing to do is, but doing the right thing will cost something of you, and therefore that creates fear. So when that happens, do what? Receive courage. Receive courage. And I'm going to give you three ways by which you and I can do that. Number one, when you face fear, receive courage by being filled with the Holy Spirit. by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, in John chapter 16, verse 33, he warned his disciples by saying, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In this world, when you follow me, when you love me, when you obey me, and when you become my disciples, you will face trials, troubles, hardship. But take heart, take courage. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And because Jesus has overcome the world, he sent his Holy Spirit to us and to Peter and John, to all the followers of Jesus Christ. He promised, Jesus promised before he ascended, "I will send you the Holy Spirit. And when he comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So when you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, you will receive courage with which you can face fear. In verse 8, we read, when Peter and John were being accused, they were standing before the ruling party in the Supreme Court of the land. They were asked, "By what name, by what power, who told you to teach? Who told you to heal? Who told you to proclaim about the resurrection?" And what's the response? Peter, being filled with what? With the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the one who resides in the heart of every Christian. That Holy Spirit is giving you courage. The Bible doesn't say, find courage, because it's in you. The Bible doesn't say, be courageous by your own might, by your own power, or by your own self-discipline. No. The Bible says, receive courage. Courage is not within us. It's coming from the outside. We want to do the right thing. We know what the right thing to do is. We need courage. We're going to receive it by how? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Once again, here's Jesus Christ's promise. Luke chapter 12. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. You see right there, the courage is not produced or fabricated within us. It is given to us. We simply receive it. That is grace. Don't you say? Wouldn't you say? Don't you think? It's grace. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit is giving to us. This past week, I watched a remarkable video. It's about followers of Jesus Christ in the Middle East countries. They were formerly Muslims, but the Lord Jesus appeared to them in their dreams, and he spoke to them through the Holy Scripture, and it was undeniable. So these Muslims became followers of Jesus Christ, and they began telling everyone about Jesus Christ, that he's alive, and that in him there is hope and power. One of them, she was about to kill herself because of what she was facing, but Jesus said, "Child, don't do it." He actually appeared before her in a vision, and she was convinced. Now, in those countries in the Middle East, it is unlawful, illegal, to proclaim about Jesus Christ. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they received courage. And they are telling everyone that Jesus is alive. And in Christ, there is hope and future. So friends, how about you? What are you facing today? What do you need courage for? You want to do the right thing, right? And you can face your fear by receiving courage as you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this takes as simple as simply extending your hands, as if receiving a gift from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of Jesus may I be filled with your presence and your power. I need courage to face my fears so that I may do the right thing for myself, for my loved ones, and in my circumstances. So, first, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Second, when you face fear, receive courage by declaring the truth, by declaring, proclaiming, embracing, and letting everyone know about the truth. In the verses 18 and 19, the Sadducees command Peter and John not to speak in the name of Jesus or teach in the name of Jesus anymore. And it was an actual threat. If you keep on talking about Jesus, if you keep on proclaiming Jesus, we will arrest you, and we will torture you, and we will incarcerate you. And what was the response of Peter and John? Hey, see for yourselves. Should we obey God or obey you? You be the judges. But as far as we are concerned, as for us, this is verse 20, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Did you catch that? We cannot help ourselves but to speak what we have seen and heard. And what do they see and what do they hear? They saw Jesus being crucified. They saw Jesus being killed. They saw Jesus being buried. But after 3 days, they saw Jesus alive. What did they hear? The very words of risen Christ. All that he promised before he was crucified. After he was risen from the dead, he told the disciples, "See, I told you, I will come back. I will rise. And when I rise from the dead, I will make everything known to you." Jesus was seen. Jesus was heard. And that's all Peter and John proclaimed. Only the truth. Friends, listen to this. This is noteworthy. When you declare the truth, you are giving Jesus all the glory. When you declare to the people around you what you have seen and what you have heard from the Bible in the person of the resurrected Jesus Christ, you are glorifying Jesus because you're giving him all the credit. Listen, watch this. In verse 9, this is Peter and John speaking. "If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Where is the credit? Who healed this lame man? Peter and John are saying, "We didn't heal this man. We have no power." He was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. He was simply declaring the truth, nothing but the truth. Another truth, you crucified Jesus, Sadducees, but God raised him from the dead. We are eyewitnesses. We have seen and heard, and that's all we are declaring. Nothing more, nothing less, just the truth. Now, what was the response of the Sadducees? In verse 13, I just love this verse. Read this with me together in one voice, okay? You will see the slide on the screen. Let's read it together. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The Sadducees, what did they notice? They observed, hey, these are unschooled, uneducated, and they're ordinary men. They're not special like us, the Sadducees. We are educated, we are wealthy, we are extraordinary, but these are uneducated, ordinary men, bunch of high school dropouts from a hick town called Galilee. And they are teaching everyone, and they have this courage, and they were astonished, surprised, and even offended at their courage. Friends, we don't need to embellish the truth. Whenever you face fear because you want to do the right thing, when you do the right thing, just tell the truth. Tell the truth without putting any wax on it. You don't have to embellish it. You don't have to fabricate anything or add anything to it. Just declare the truth. If people accuse you, if your name is being questioned, your reputation is being questioned, just tell the truth. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And that's where Peter and John got the courage from. I just love how this verse was captured. In verse 21, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. See, look, right there. The evidence is in the truth. The Sadducees, they couldn't deny the fact, the truth, rather, that this man was healed because everyone saw this man at the gate going into the temple courts. For 40 years, he was begging there, and they all saw him begging there, and now they see him jumping, leaping, rejoicing, praising God. When you simply declare the truth, Jesus will be glorified. What about you? As you face your fears, when you want to do the right thing, receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you get to declare the truth. And when you do that, there is such freedom. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He is the resurrection. Thirdly, when you face fear, receive courage by, number one, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, by declaring the truth. And number three, lastly, by building your life on Jesus. In verse 2, the Sadducees were greatly disturbed. And that word, disturbed, means they were deeply offended. They were stirred up within. And they were angry at what they saw. Because they were, Peter and John, what were they doing? They were teaching and proclaiming Jesus, in Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees were deeply upset by two things. Number one, that the disciples were teaching, recognizing that they were unschooled. Sadducees, they were the schooled, they were the educated, they were the wealthy, they were the powerful, and only they should have taught the people. But here they were, Peter and John, teaching. But number two, they were also disturbed, upset, offended, because they're teaching, what? Declaring, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of life. Resurrection of the dead. Remember I told you, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So the ruling power of the land, they were being challenged. They're being usurped by the teaching and the proclamation of Peter and John. But here's what Peter declares in verse 11 and 12. This is, Jesus is, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The Sadducees, they had the power, they had the influence, and they taught, if you want to be made right, God, then you have to come to the temple, you have to offer sacrifices, you need priests who will mediate between you and God. And Peter and John, they were saying, the stone that you rulers rejected, God has made this Jesus, whom he raised, he has become the cornerstone. He is the foundation of your life. And Jesus is saying, build your life on me. Build your life on the solid foundation of who I am. I am the resurrection. I am alive. And Peter says something really theologically nuanced. Salvation is found no one else. For there is no other name by which we must be saved under heaven, right? We are saved by the name of Jesus. Do you see that? We're not saved by our works, by our performance, by our good deeds. We are saved by what? By the name of Jesus. It's a gift. Sadducees, they were working for their own righteousness. They are performing. They are trying to be made right before the holy God by their own ceremonial deeds, like sacrifices and temple observances. And Peter says, there is no salvation. Only name given to men by which we must be saved is the name of Jesus Christ. See, friends, when you have that name of Jesus, and when you are saved, there is such godly identity in you. You will not be afraid. When you face fear, that will not paralyze you. Remember, courage is not absence of fear, but doing the right thing as you face your fears. So there's identity. You belong to Jesus by the name of Christ. And there's also security. Jesus says, since I'm alive, I will take care of you. Since I'm your Lord and your God, I will provide security. Build your life on Jesus Christ. When you follow Jesus, when you obey Jesus, you will face trials. You will face hardship. You might even face persecution, even torture, even death. All these are happening to many Christians around the world. Not so many in North America, but around the world. There are scores of testimonies where followers of Jesus Christ saying, I want to do the right thing. I want to obey Jesus. And if there's the cost, I will gladly face the cost, because fear will not stop me from doing the right thing, for I receive the courage. Let me end with this. Jesus Christ, he faced fear. Did you know that? Before he was crucified in the Garden of Olives, as he saw what was about to happen, he prayed to the Father in heaven, Father, I am being overwhelmed. I am facing fear. Would you remove this cup from me? But not my will, but yours will be done. Jesus Christ faced fear, and he became courageous. And the Bible says he endured the scorn of the cross for the joy that was set before him. And that joy, the reason for him being courageous, was you and me. He wanted to overcome the fear, and he had to be courageous, being obedient, dying on the cross for you and me. So friends, let us receive Jesus' courage. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray, as we face all these hardship trials, and as we face fear because we want to do the right thing, we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit, you give us courage. We want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the glory. And we want to tell everyone that there is hope in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.